This afternoon, you're listening to the Todd Laborowicz Show, Real Estate Radio and Salem Broadcast Network, AM 1260 The Answer. I'm your host, Todd Laborowicz, and this segment is brought to you by Clothesline Settlements, our preferred partner for all your closing needs. Well, you're in for a special treat because in the studio with us now is Brooke R. Rose. He's with Brooke Rose Development, and welcome to the studio.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
No, thank you. We got a lot of creativity in here today.
Can you feel it?
I can feel it. It's like, it's amazing. But you're a developer.
Yeah.
And walk me through a couple of your projects to kind of get a feel for the different types of developers that are out there.
Sure. You know, something I guess there's a lot of people who've sort of started out the way I did. I basically, you know, found a dilapidated home. It was in an area called Mount Pleasant, which was a great little enclave in the district. And, you know, had great bones, as they say, you know, and I went in there and learned the hard way, through learning how to work with, you know, contractors and subcontractors, but produced something that was, you know, kind of cool, and the market reacted. You know, it commanded the highest per square foot price at that time, you know, which of course I was jumping up and down, but even though it wasn't a large amount of money. but that's how I started. And so I kept buying another house and then another house.
And the rest is history.
And then they got a little bigger and then they became multi-units. So, you know, I kind of love the challenge of many different asset classes, meaning like, you know, it can be a single family home. It could be a multi-family, rentals, you know.
But you get to control the projects.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. That's the beauty of being a developer is that, you know, you're the creator. I always likened it to kind of like making a movie in a way. You know why? Because, you know, it's like being a producer. Uh-huh. Because you hire your architect who's sort of like your director. You know, you hire your production company that's sort of your contractor. You know, you hire your real estate agents who are the marketing arm. And then you have your opening day, you know, your open house. And then bam, you're putting on your movie, your show.
I love how you like this philosophy. That's a great way to explain it.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, that's always fun because there's a start and there's an end to the project. And I never wanted to be in a, you know, in an industry that I was doing the same thing again and again. Granted, I'm doing similar things again and again, but there's each project is its own animal.
Very nice. Well, let's talk about those projects.
Mm-hmm.
Explain a little bit about some of your previous projects.
Well, I mean, it really does run the gamut, but some of the things that have been very exciting in my career, and I think it's a little scary that I can actually say career, because it means
how's it a career when you're having fun?
well, that and, you know, if you're old enough to actually have a career, you know, when you start out, there's no career. you know, I there was a historic home in Kalorama, which is a beautiful area of the district, and I walked in there. You know, a realtor had told me about it. It was going on the market. It was an estate sale. You know, the same family had lived there for 90 years.
It's a great area.
And the home was owned by a president. It was President Warren G. Harding.
Oh, wow.
So there was a really interesting history, you know, to this home. But I walked in, you know, like my jeans and my t-shirt and all the fancy agents are running around in their suits and looking all important. And I look around and I was like really taken in by the beauty of the scale of the home. You know, this is a Georgian home built in 1916. Warren Harding lived there from 1916 to 1921 when he became president of the United States. Unfortunately, one of the worst presidents in the history of the United States.
But still a president.
But a president, right. He still had the cachet. Anyhow, so bottom line is that we ended up going into a bidding war and won it and was scared beyond belief. But went forth with it and really tried to respect the existing architectural integrity of the home. You need to reconfigure from turn of the century homes for modern living, things like larger closets, bigger bathrooms. I mean, I don't know how often they showered back then, but we shower a lot. And we like big spaces to shower in. So, I mean, it was definitely modernizing, you know, a home like that for modern living. And I ended up selling it to the country of Monaco, the Principality of Monaco.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the prince, or I think he was now, maybe he's the king, I don't know. He had come through.
He's got a lot of power.
You know, he's a prince.
Yeah.
You know, princes have power.
Yeah.
it's, you know, lucky blood.
Now, Brooke, where did you grow up?
I grew up in North Miami Beach.
North Miami Beach.
Yeah.
And where did you go to school?
I went to Wharton School of the University of Pennsylvania.
Really?
Yeah.
We got to talk.
Okay.
I'm trying, my daughter's 10 months old, and I'm trying to prepare for Wharton.
Oh, you know something?
It's like my dream. I want to get like a Wharton's like t-shirt. My wife is like, well, what happens if she doesn't want to go there? I'm like, well, I'll have to have more kids.
That's hysterical.
We'll talk off air.
That's hysterical.
But, oh my God, I could talk forever on that one. All right, so how did you get to D.C.?
Love. I actually fell in love and moved here for that. But I lived many places. I, you know, after I graduated, I lived L.A., I lived New York. Then I started, very entrepreneurial, so I started a little company, assisted living, actually, in Orlando.
Oh, wow.
Winter Park. And then I fell in love, and I moved here.
What do you love more? Falling in love or the loving the city?
You know, I love both.
Ah,
I love both.
You got everything in balance.
I got everything right.
That's very a perfect life.
Very, very lucky.
And you're in D.C., and how'd you get into, well, we know how you got into the real estate industry and urban infill development, but how did you like start your own, like where, when did, tell me about the transition to starting your own company and saying, wow, I really got a product. I'm a developer and I can basically have a blank slate. I can make whatever movie I want. And,
you know, when I started, it's going back now 12 years ago, it was, you know, and having lived in LA and New York where they were doing much more, you know, the projects were a little more cutting edge. They were a little more, you know, the design was definitely, you know,
over the top.
Well, you know, yeah, over the
city. I mean, Mulholland Drive, cities. I used to live there. Right. It's like, it's amazing.
So, you know, it was kind of, and what we were doing here, not to criticize DC, but, you know, we had some nice products here. But, you know, is if you were put a little bit more thought and effort into the creative process, you were really kind of able to distinguish yourself from other developers. So that's what I enjoyed doing. And then I kind of like to dabble. One time I do a very conservative, you know, in a very historic renovation, then I would go and do an Italian minimalist, you know. So I really was testing my limits and like going and producing a lot of different things. At the time, actually, producing the very modern project was difficult because people would come in, they'd say, my furniture's not going to fit here. I'm not buying this place. Actually, it was harder to sell, even though it was one of my, still to this date, one of my favorite projects. Now, I think that mentality has shifted. DC is way more, you know, desiring interesting creative design, and they're not only desiring it, they're demanding it, I think. And there is a premium for a good product.
Let me ask you a question off topic, because you know a lot about DC. Is it really for, like, it's got the good bones and structures, and DC is a great place to live. But is it for the princes? Is it for the ultra wealthy? Or is it, can, are there families that are moving in and there's projects that are affordable for?
You know, that happens to be an excellent question. You know, it's an excellent point. You know, since I've been living here in the district for over a decade, developers have really concentrated on the two bedroom, two bath market, you know, and some one bedroom, one bath. And recently in the last couple of years, those have gotten smaller. So there's definitely, you know, there's an opportunity, or there's a niche that's not being met, or there's a desire that's not being met. There are a lot of people who want to move in from the city or raise their families here. And I think as a development community, we really need to look into that further. I don't know what that looks like. I think there's some great stuff going on going around the perimeter of the city. But inside the city, it's getting expensive.
You know?
It's expensive.
It's New York almost.
It's becoming New York. And I don't know what the answer is to that. I do know that there is a need for people who do have the funds, who want to move back in, and they don't want to live in a huge townhouse, but they want to live in a 2,000 square foot condominium, and they don't really exist very often. And they're finding a problem.
Well, it's interesting. We had a while ago, we had a real estate roundtable, and a guy was talking about how he sold a house to somebody, all this land for the people, for his kids to run around, have a great time, but the kid just stayed inside and used Xbox. And he's driving to work and doing all these things, a half hour to get to work. He said, forget this, I'm selling it, moved into the city, and the kid still sits at the TV, hasn't moved, and he gets to walk to work and
That's right.
The shops and the luxury of the city living.
Accessibility to city living. There's a new urbanism going on. You know,
it's a whole movement.
You know, and it's here in D.C. It's across the country. And the interesting thing is that people not only not only do the baby boomers want to move back into the city, but people who are having children don't want to move out of the city.
Right. And that's where these pop-ups and pop-outs and everything is coming
around.
That's
why we're getting a squeeze in rent and values are going up.
But you're in the mix. You get to make a difference.
Yeah.
A power player.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say that, but it's very nice to be able to create a project. I am doing something right now, which is in a area, it's Columbia Heights, but it's an area submarket of Columbia Heights called Pleasant Plains, only a few blocks above 9th and U, and it's called the Helicopter Factory.
The Helicopter Factory.
Yes. What's so interesting about this project is that it's, you know, we're basically a city built out of bureaucratic buildings. You know, there's not that much industrial stock here. Mm-hmm. So the fact that this was an old factory is really kind of exciting to bring back to life and repurpose as a residential property. It was a famous inventor, Emil Berliner, who created some of the first gyro motors on the site. And that was the precursor to the helicopter. Gyro motors became the gyrocopter became the helicopter. Anyhow.
Very nice. Well, Brooke Rose with Brooke Rose Development, thank you so much. And I wish you guys all the best in the future, because you guys are creating the future. And you're definitely very talented. And coming up next, we're going to try something new and creative. It's called the Lightning Round. We're going to pull everyone back in the studio with John Henry Sis from Clothesline Settlements and give everyone a question. We'll be right back after these messages.